Leviticus 16, I want to talk about the apparent distance of God. Verse 1, Yahweh spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before Yahweh and died. So God had punished them, but he didn't want to punish them. He doesn't like this kind of thing. And so he says in verse 2, therefore tell Aaron your brother not to come at all times into the most holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, in case he die. In other words, the law was being slightly changed and modified. Now the high priest was only to come into the most holy place within the veil once a year on the Day of Atonement, but that was not the original intention. This is one of a whole host of examples of where the law of Moses is changed within, let's say, the first 40 years of it being given, the period from when it was given to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. There are a number of changes, and indeed Deuteronomy, Deuteronomus, the second law. You look at the differences between the original law and the second law, which Moses then gives in summary on either the day he died or the last month of his life, certainly. You see there are some differences, and it's the same here in Leviticus 16. There is a change. Aaron is not to come at all times into the most holy place, but only once a year on the Day of Atonement, lest he die. And so those folks who say, look, you've got to keep the Sabbath because, look, God said keep the Sabbath, and if God gives a law, that's it for all time. No, God is not like that. The law of Moses was part of God in dialogue with man. And because he wants to save, he therefore changes. I am Yahweh, I am the Lord, I change not, Malachi says. But what does he say straight away? Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The one abiding element that doesn't change is the essential grace and patience and salvation of God towards his people. But the articulation of that certainly does change. So God's law was therefore not a chain. It was not a leash that kind of controlled man against man's best will, etc. Not at all. God wanted to save, and he was prepared to change bits and pieces of his law in accordance with human weakness. So Aaron, the high priest, is not to come at all times into the most holy, only once a year, in case he die. God is aware of his own holiness, and one reason for his apparent distance is exactly because he does not want to consume us. Now, God has said in Exodus 33, after they worship the golden calf, I will not go up in the midst of you, for you're a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. It's very similar to this, isn't it? That Aaron is not to come at all times into the most holy place, lest he die. It's rather like God initially, as I understand it in Exodus 19, telling Israel that he wanted them to all come before him and to all actually hear his voice. But then, because they were not sufficiently sanctified, he warns them not to come near. Rather like he does with Moses. He's told, don't come too near the burning bush. So there is this distance of God, which is not because God is playing hard to get. It is partly, and as I say, this is only one window onto his apparent distance. It's partly because he does not want to consume. He does not want to destroy. Now, we're told in Hebrews 10:22, that we must have holiness whereby we can draw near to God in Christ. And again, Paul says, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So it's not that God wants to be separate, that he wants to be distant. He wants us to come to him, but we have got to understand his holiness and our sinfulness. And as soon as these days you preach about sinfulness and human weakness and human sinfulness and God's holiness and the gap that there is between us, Well, that's not politically correct, it seems. That's not what people want to hear. But until you grasp that, you will not see the need for personal sanctification, whereby you can draw near to God. If you respect that holiness and seek in response to sanctify yourself. So then, God did eventually go up with Israel in the midst of them, as he had initially wanted to do, but then he said, I will not go up in the midst of you, for you're a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. But then Moses had said, oh no, please come with you, but please come with us, we need you in the midst of us, etc. And God did, but what happened? Well, there were times when his wrath did burst forth, and exactly what he, as it were, didn't want to happen, did happen. So why is there this distance of God? Well, it's multifactorial. It can be that God is distant in order to elicit our searching for him. But this is another angle, I think, on it, that it's because he does not want to consume people. He does not want to destroy. He wants us to approach unto him, respecting his holiness.